Welcome to the live blog of an FFPC main event draft with myself, Michael Leone, alongside Established the Runs, Mark Dankenbring, and Jack Miller. Together, we are the ETR Nerds team entering an FFPC main event slow draft, and we thought it'd be cool to do a slow draft and sort of document our progress live blog style. So after each pick we make, we're going to get together and just quickly discuss, you know, what we're thinking for the pick and what we end up deciding, and just kind of give the subscribers, you guys, insight into how we're drafting a high stakes team here. We won't release, obviously, right away because we don't want to give away too much, but after every couple rounds or so, we'll release what we've been doing, what we're thinking, and keep you up to date on progress. We'll have these MP3 files in the article along with some written blurbs from Jack so that everybody can hear those. And for people who aren't familiar with the FFPC main event, it is a huge season-long high-stakes contest, $2,000 entry, and there's going to be tons of different 12-team leagues, and from those 12-team leagues, either two or three are going to advance the championship round, and in that championship round, there is a grand prize of $1 million. It's extremely top-heavy. Second place is $200,000, so that's something to consider. But for the actual structure, you're in a 12-team league and there's a regular season that's weeks 1 through 12, and the top four seeds play in a league playoffs. And then in that league playoffs, the winner of that goes to the championship round, competing against all the other people that advance from the 12-team league. But you also automatically get into that championship round. That's weeks 15 to 17 points chased. If you're a one seed, which is the best record in your league, weeks 1 through 12, or if you're a two seed, which is the next team with the most remaining points, and there's prizes associated with that. But I think that, you know, sets up generally the tournament we're looking for, a ton of upside, Mark. Also, why don't you hit on some like the FFPC quirks as far as the roster format and the scoring system?
Definitely. And you mentioned that the regular season is only weeks 1 through 12. So while we do want to kind of build the super team that can potentially peak and, you know, the fantasy playoffs and win that $1 million, it's also, you also don't want to have too rough of a start to the season because you only have 12 weeks to accumulate points and get the record before you go into the playoffs. So it's a little balance there. In terms of scoring, it is tight end premium, which means tight ends earn 1.5 points per reception on FFPC. And then the roster construction is you start one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, two flexes, a kicker, and a defense. And so you know, typically on Underdog, we see three wide receivers that you have to start. Same with DraftKings in terms of best ball. And I think most season long formats have turned into three wide receiver starts, but in FFPC, again, it's two wide receivers and two flexes. And then with the tight end premium, you can see all sorts of different roster constructions here where people load up on, you know, double elite tight ends, you know, often referred to as bully tight end strategy. You can load up on wide receivers still because it's full PPR scoring for wide receivers and running backs. And then there's also, it's typically a more traditionally, you know, running back heavy draft site because you only have to start two wide receivers in your lineup. So a lot of different ways we can go here with roster construction.
Yeah, I mean, typically I like being wide receiver heavy. I think most of us do at ETR in general, and in a full PPR format, the ability to start four wide receivers, that's where we look. It's nice that FFPC gives you different outs for roster construction where you can do four running backs, you can mix in tight ends. But as you mentioned, Mark, because of that, it's kind of like, you know, chicken or egg type thing. But then the market drafts running backs earlier and we're back to taking a lot of wide receivers, even though we don't have to. Jack, yeah. I know you're not as familiar with the FFPC platform as Mark and I, but excited to have you on board as we do this draft. And I do think with it being so top heavy in the playoffs, like some of the best ball research you've done for like looking at schedules, week 15 to 17, stuff like that, there's going to be like small tiebreakers for that, small tiebreakers in terms of stacking where like we have to visualize how over a 3-week sprint, we can have the best possible lineup. And you got to get out of the best ball mindset because we're going to have to set that lineup each week for the 3-week sprint. So I don't know if opponents are going to matter as much as they do in like Underdog Best Ball Mania, because it's not an uncorrelated single week. It's all 3 weeks, but the correlation within, I think it's pretty important to get the quarterback correlated unless we have like an elite rushing quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely going to have to get out of the best ball mindset for this one because that's pretty much what I've been doing all summer. But I'm excited to have this team. This is my first main event team that I've ever done. And I've done some FFPC, but probably not as much as you guys. So I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, it's a fun format. Lots of different ways to build. But again, like then the room can do lots of different things. And I know with tight end too, in general, I like getting one like somewhat early, and we'll talk more when we get to the individual picks. But I feel like sometimes with the tight end premium, the high-end tight ends are valued appropriately, but some of the mid-tier tight ends get overvalued with the tight end premium. But like, if you're going to win that 3-week sprint, I think it's going to be hard to do that without having some sort of breakout tight end or like top six tight end. You know, you might not need the Kelce season from last year, but you probably need someone that has decent upside. It's not like winning a 12-team league where you can just throw in someone that gets it done. One other wrinkle too with the weeks 1 through 12 regular season and the league playoff in weeks 13, 14, that league playoff runs into bye weeks. So there's different bye week strategies where it's like, just try to get the 1 seed and the 2 seed and like stack your byes in weeks 13 and 14. And then there's people that like try to do the exact opposite, avoid all week 13, 14 byes. For me, I think like I play it by ear. It's mostly a tiebreaker thing. And I like to see where things settle, but it's something we're going to have to think through as we draft this team.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because week 13 bye has some big time offenses this season with Buffalo, Baltimore, Minnesota, the Giants. I know are all in week 13 and our offenses that I'm targeting quite heavily in best ball and other fantasy formats. And then wanted to mention also in terms of roster construction, it's a 20 round draft. And so we end up with 10 bench spots, which like you said, I still kind of like leaning wide receiver heavy because the amount of bench spots we have, you know, lends itself to building more of a zero RB approach. And then there also is waiver runs each week, each Wednesday night. That's a fab budget of $1,000. So I actually think that is one of the most difficult things of FFPC is managing the fab budget, and having $1,000 is kind of like overwhelming. Sometimes you're not sure when to spend it, you know, how hard people are going to go early on in the season. So managing fab is certainly, you know, a challenge. And I know none of us are really excited to talk through fab bids each week, but
I was gonna say, who's gonna draw straws for who has to put in the fab bids? Yeah. We're gonna.
I mean, I plan to have several other FFPC teams, so I will be the nominee if we have to.
All right, Mark will make sure we're not in trouble there. But cool, we did draw the 7th pick overall. We're going to shut this intro down and then record what we're thinking about heading into the 7th pick. Most of the picks I think we'll talk about like on the clock, but I think the first round pick, a little bit more interesting to talk about, a few picks out of us being on the clock to kind of get our rankings and who we would go depending on how this draft falls. So yeah, if you have any notes, feedback, people, as you're listening to this and we're live blogging it, please let us know. But we hope you find this interesting and it helps you in your leagues, especially if you're going to venture into the FFPC main event. Oh, I should say one last thing too. On my podcast, Establish the Edge, I am going to have the Go Bills FFPC team, 3 guys from Buffalo, shout out Buffalo, who have stunningly won the $1 million grand prize 2 years in a row, which is like somewhat unfathomable given like how this contest is structured to win twice in a row. So check that out on Establish the Edge.